Romans chapter 5 is where we're at today in our text, and as I want to draw your attention pretty much to our text verse, we'd be verse 1. Paul says, therefore, being justified. That is, he's simply saying you've been justified, or you have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul starts out in verse 1 concerning really a subject that mankind has always sought. And by the way, they continue to seek. And that is the matter of knowing true peace. Today's title of the message would be A Desire to Know Peace. There's a lot of people in this world want peace, or at least to know peace. And we're surrounded by people every day who are not at peace. Do you find yourself that way? It may be family members. It may be people you work with. It may be someone you go to school with, that they just don't seem to be at peace with themselves or the situation they're in. And there's a lot of that that's going on. I guarantee you, if doctors could come up with a prescription that would promise and deliver peace from with no side effects, the cost wouldn't matter, would it? People would buy it just to have peace. Well, it would be an instant success. But I'm not a doctor. But I know the source of peace, don't you? I'm not a doctor, and by the way, the source of peace, what he has to offer is free. It wouldn't cost anybody a dime. And God's word is clear about how we can know peace and what this subject is dealing with today and what we find in our society. There's a lot that's going on, and I wish that more people would listen to God's word when it comes to wanting to find peace. They seem to have the remedy for that in Washington, D.C., but for some reason, they have not been able to pass it on down for people to find peace. You can find through some of the advertisements that seems to be, if you'll get this or buy this or do this, you'll have peace. Now, they don't use those terms, but that's kindly, you know, the way they lay it out there. Because people are looking for that peace, but it's the wrong kind of peace. But God has given us in His Word what we can know concerning peace. I want to just give you a few things to think about concerning this topic of a desire to know peace. To know peace, first of all, we must see the need for peace, right? For you to have known peace, the peace that God speaks about in His Word, then we must come to a point where we see the need for peace that God speaks about. You see, God has declared Himself to be at war with every human being because of man's sinful rebellion against Him and His laws. God doesn't hate mankind. He's proved that He loves mankind. He went to the cross and died for the world. But what God does hate, God hates the rebellion that comes as a result of our sinful nature. And when we break God's laws. But it's through justification, He made clear in verse 1, it's through justification where God has provided an end of that lack of peace forever. But we must see the need to know peace. You know, a person without Christ is, the Bible says, is at enmity with God, or they've found themselves to be an enemy of God. Simply put, unbelievers are enemies of God. Before you came to know Christ as your Savior, you were an enemy of God. You may not admit to that, but that's really what was where we were before we invited Christ in our heart as our Savior. We were rebelling against God and God's truth. And we were considered an enemy of God. And we have people like that every day that we're around. They want peace, but yet they're enemies of God. They're at enmity with God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 10, just a few verses down, it says, "For if, when, or while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." In other words, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Man cannot obey God's laws. We looked at that last week. We looked at Exodus, at the Ten Commandments. And, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, if I just abide by these Ten Commandments, and I'll have peace. Well, have you found that those who strive, and maybe you have, boy, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and it goes on down the list, and, you know, people break God's laws every day. We break God's laws every day. And we find that just trying to follow God's laws is good, but there's going to be times in our life where we're going to break God's laws. Why? Because we in and of ourselves are not able to keep the laws of God. And it does not save just because you think, well, I try to obey the Ten Commandments, or I try to obey God's Word, and maybe that'll get me to heaven. Well, there's no peace in that, because there's no assurity that you're going to be perfectly able to obey God's laws. Now, we're encouraged, and we should strive to be obedient to the Word of God and obey God's laws, but yet we find that we're going to break that. And God knows that. It doesn't matter how hard a person may try to be acceptable to God. They're going to fail. We all are going to fail. Romans chapter 7 verse 18. It says, "For I know that in me," Paul says, that he goes on to say within me. What is he talking about? He says, "That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Can you say that? That in your flesh, he simply says, there's nothing good that dwells in me, Paul says. Then he goes on to say, no good thing. He says, "For to will is present with me." In other words, I have the desire to do what is right. It's presence within me. That desire is presence to do right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul says, I don't have the ability to carry it out. None of us do. You know, there is within us maybe an ever-present desire to do right, but yet there's also that ever-present desire to sin and commit evil. And what is that called? Well, it's called simply a sin nature that we're born with. And just because we're saved doesn't mean, well, we got rid of it. Have you noticed? It didn't leave you. Because those bad thoughts still come pressing at you from time to time. Saying things that you wish you hadn't have said. What is all that about? Well, it's that sin nature that we're not going to give up here. But we will one day when we get into heaven. You see, a person may want to turn over a new leaf. You've heard people say that. Starting a new year, I just want to turn over a new leaf. What do they mean by that? Well, I assume they mean that they want to try to do better. Better than they did last year, or better than they did yesterday. They may not want to continue on, in other words, in their sin. But the fallen nature will not let us do anything else. You see, the fallen nature is something we battle with that wants us to continue to sin. This enmity brings condemnation from God. John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is," what? "Condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Just because you obey the Ten Commandments as best as you can. That is, there's no saving power in that. There's no saving power. You see, the saving power is belief. It's not water. There's no saving power in coming to church every Sunday. And maybe you come to Sunday school. None of that has saving power, but there is saving power in genuine, true belief. And I emphasize genuine and true. Because you go out here, as I've said many times, you take a survey on the street and ask people, do you believe in God? Well, in the South, you're just going to expect everybody in the South believes in God, right? But we know that's not true. Just because you're a Southerner, which I'm proud to be a Southerner, aren't you? Doesn't mean all Southerners are going to heaven. As sweet and as kind as we like to be. That ain't going to get you to heaven. Just because you say, well, I believe in God. But belief has to be followed up with true repentance. Not only should there be a desire to believe, but at the moment that you take Jesus in your heart, you have repented. You have acknowledged the fact that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And that's where justification comes in. Now, it's practiced by faith. It says, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. You see, believe means more than intellectual agreement to the claims of the gospel. You go out here, a lot of people will say, well, I believe the gospel. Do you? You may believe it intellectually because you've been taught that all of your life. But has it made a change in your life? Have you done something to let it make that difference? You see, belief includes trust and commitment to Christ as Lord and Savior, which, by the way, it results in receiving a new nature that produces change of heart and obedience to the Lord. When someone says they have truly believed on Jesus and as personal Savior, then what should we expect next? Well, the next thing we should expect, a desire to change, to be different than before, right? Sadly, there's a lot of people walking around with no peace because there's never been a real change. There's a lot of people, even in our churches, that come to church that and maybe all their life, but they find no peace because there's never been really a change. I know that makes people feel a little bit uncomfortable in stating that, but because we have practiced and we're prone to practice in Baptist churches an easy believism. That is, just pray a simple prayer or come to church so many times, and we made it easy to the point to where we've gotten caught up in numbers. Where we think, well, we've got to have so many baptisms a year, or so many people walk the aisle a year, but, you know, salvation is easy. It really is. God made it simple for a person to be saved. But is it genuine? Did we really, truly? And I'm not here to place guilt on anyone, because only you know in your heart. But the question I ask is, the word belief in John 3:18, does that apply to you? In other words, it's not you when you believed, it was not an intellectual agreement with the gospel, but it was a trust and a commitment to Christ as your Lord and Savior that you know resulted when you received Christ as your Savior, with that desire to want to change, to be different. The Bible is very clear that if a person is not a child of God through Jesus Christ, then they are condemned to spend eternity in hell. And that's what John is saying in John 3:18. You see, we need to be at peace with God because the only other option is to be His what? Enemy. I don't want to be an enemy of God, do you? I don't want to be an enemy of God. You know, what we do in this matter of making peace with God will determine where we spend eternity, won't it? Now, some of you young people maybe, you know, I'm not here to point a finger at just young people, but obviously we can include adults, but I know we're living a day and time where some of our young people are just starting to make that decision of whether they're going to receive Christ or not, because they're looking for peace. But they hear so many different things. If I was a young person today, I'd be totally confused in today's time. Because all somebody's got to do is put up a name on a building and say, we're a church. When really you go there, they're not a church that preaches the Word of God. They're not a church that holds to the truths of God's Word. They appeal to the flesh, but they're not preaching against sin. They're not preaching about true repentance and what real belief is all about. And we live in those times. And we're supposed to know that God says in the end times there's going to be churches or so-called churches like that. There are going to be false teachers in our day and time that are just coming up from all realms of life. And the reason I'm preaching this type message is because, church, we're in those times. Have you read in the news recently where those who supposedly know Christ have all of a sudden come out and says, well, I'm denying my Christianity. I'm denying the fact that I was a believer. Now, these are supposedly people that, I think a few of them are singers, right? But all of a sudden, they've denied. Let me just say this. They're saying they're denied. They never had it. You can't deny something that you've had, truly, when it comes to salvation. If you truly are a believer in Christ, you either are a believer or you're not. What I do like about this, though, I need the news media, and some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's been in the news. Now, the other side of the crowd, the atheists, they love all this. But the way I look at it, this is just God revealing who is a true believer and who's not. They don't realize they're just doing what God is part of God's handiwork. God is revealing the true believers in the last days. Yeah, they've made money off of the fact that they're a Christian. They wrote songs about Christian songs. One was a preacher, a well-known preacher. I didn't really know him, but he was supposedly a well-known preacher. But comes out and says, I deny my faith. Don't be shocked. There's going to be more of this. Don't be shocked. Because God's going to reveal the false teachers. But the thing that I guess is concerning is that you've got folks out there that are following. That's why we have to be careful. We don't follow man, but we follow God. When we start following man and we get our eyes off on man, and we're going to find we're going to be disappointed sooner or later. A person can ignore God. And when they do, they'll die and go to hell. Or they can make peace with God and go to heaven. That's what Paul is saying, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You can ignore the truth, you can ignore God, and simply die and go to hell, or you can make peace with God, true peace, and go to heaven. So the first point is, there for a person to have peace, they must see the need for peace. True peace. Secondly, to have peace, then we need to see what's not peace. To have peace, we need to see what's not peace. Now let me just go through a little list of things here. First of all, peace is not trying to appease God with human efforts. A lot of people try to appease God with human efforts. Adam and Eve tried to do that. You go back and read the story and life of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve tried to make themselves acceptable unto God with their own efforts. And it didn't work then, and by the way, it's not going to work today. God can see right through what we're doing. He can see through our attempts to cover up. Just go back. We know in the beginning, God, we see the picture of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, what did they try to do? Cover up. Try to hide from God. You know, we can run from God, we can hide, we can pretend, but we cannot make it a reality. Why? Because God cannot be fooled. Neither will He be satisfied with our efforts of righteousness. It matters not how hard we may try. You know, we cannot appease God with our human efforts as much as we try. So peace is not trying to appease God with human efforts, and then peace is not trying to be at peace with God. What do you mean, preacher? It's not trying to be at peace with God. God is either our best friend or He's our worst enemy. Right? Is God your best friend? I hope He is. If not, then the only other option, He's your worst enemy. Satan made that choice. Satan was an angel that was kicked out of heaven. He chose to make God his worst enemy. And when we choose to go in the way that an unbeliever would go, that he's choosing to be against God, he's an enemy of God. He doesn't look at our friendliness. God doesn't. He doesn't look at our friendliness and, oh, boy, they're friendly, loving people or a person. And we can be. And we can be fooled because we've been brought up in church thinking, well, mom and dad were saved. I'm saved too. God's not fooled by that. He's not fooled by our self-righteousness. He'll not look at our situation one day and say, oh, well, they're trying to do their best, so I'll just accept that. God's not fooled by that. He doesn't accept us because we're trying to make peace with Him, because we cannot, in and of ourselves, make peace with God. Try as much as you will, as long as you will, and as hard as you will, and we'll always come up short. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and what does it say in the rest of that verse? And they come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, that ain't the message that's being preached today. The message is preached today, you just be a good person and everything's going to be okay. Those tickle your ears type message. The guys that are getting the big crowds. Now, I'm not envious or jealous. I really am not. If anything, my heart breaks. Because I see right now the devil's winning some battles. But you know, I've read the end of the book. And I know who wins. It may not be the largest church in town, but if that church is preaching the gospel and stands on the truths of God's word, listen, that's all that matters. Because you see, we're living in a day and time where people are going to, I believe, if we're faithful to preach the truth of God, they're going to be seeking that peace. The harder times become. And folks, times are going to get hard. Oh, the economy may go well. You may have money in the bank account, but what I'm talking about, times are getting hard, is there's an attack and will be an attack upon the church like never before. And that's coming. It's already, Christianity in our day and time is going to be tested. You're going to be tested for your faith. Young people, you're going to be tested in your school. You're going to be tested. Are you an enemy of Christ? Are you on God's side? And the real test is where are you going to stand? That happened in Paul's day. And it's the closer we get to the Lord's coming, we're going to be tested in that way. What's not peace? Well, peace with God is not being at peace with your neighbor and nor your family. We may be in the who's who list or on the dean's list or be a good citizen of the year type person, but that's not going to bring peace with God, is it? I mean, maybe you have everybody in the world that likes you. Today, social media is out there just being accepted. I don't know how many Facebook friends I have. I really don't, because I don't care. Now, let me back up. I appreciate my Facebook friends, but I don't go through my list every day and think, how many do I have? I personally don't even know how to look for that, okay? But you know what? There are people living life wanting to be accepted. You know, the more Facebook friends I have, then, boy, that brings me peace. Or the best vehicle I can drive, boy, that are the best neighborhood. Well, listen, people are looking for peace in the wrong places. Peace with God is not being at peace with your neighbor, your family. Many folks feel that just because they are good neighbors or good parents, they think that will be accepted as righteousness with God. Social acceptance, that doesn't impress God. I had to learn that in high school. When I determined in high school, my last year of school, I determined I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm not here to brag. But my youth pastor told me, he said, you need to expect when you start living for Jesus, you're going to lose some friends. Well, I did. I lost some folks I thought were my friends just because I went to church or invited them to church or tried to witness to them. They gradually just began to pull away. And that just hurt as a teenager. But you know what? Some of those friends later in life I was able to reach for Christ. And some of those friends now today I run into and they remind me of, you know, how I lived my last year of school and how much that maybe impacted them in some way. And I, again, not bragging, but God used that. And I'm thankful that God gave me the courage, because it was His courage that I was able to make in some sort of stand. And then notice, peace with God is not having, it's not having been accepted in church membership or being confirmed or being baptized, maybe sometimes in the past. Works of righteousness that we do will not persuade God. Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus says. So some have been taught that if you are faithful to church, that God will accept that as salvation. Or some have been taught that if they partake of the wafer and the juice and we do communion, and believe it or not, there's a lot of people believe that if you partake of that, then that's why you can get some people out for communion, especially in the Catholic churches and so forth, when they do that, thinking that this is the way of salvation. Others have been taught that if they've been baptized, yes, they believe if you've been baptized or sprinkled, then God will accept that. But you know what? That is not scriptural. That's false teaching. God says, matter of fact, God made it even simpler than that. You don't even have to take a wafer. You don't even have to get in the water, the baptismal water, to get to heaven. You know what He says? Belief. Genuine belief. But yet, for some reason, to bring peace or to find peace, we've added to the gospel. Which, who are we to add to the gospel? When Jesus went to that cross and died, He satisfied it all for us. He satisfied what needed to be done. Well, let's move on. Number three. To have peace, then, we need to see that we can have peace with God. You want peace? Well, you need to see that you can have peace, but with God. Romans 5:1 again says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, that simply means the great result of justification is that the sinner's war with God has what? Is ended. It's ended. It's over with. When you've been justified by faith, that war with God that was going on, it says, God says it's over. He says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more war with God once you've accepted Christ. There is peace with God. That's what justification does. My theologian in college, he said, if you want to just summarize the word justification, it's a big theological word, but it's summed up like this. It's just as though you've never sinned. That's what it means. Just as though I've never sinned. Now, we know we have sinned, but when Jesus, he paid our sin debt on the cross, and he paid our sin debt, we didn't. It's just as though we've never sinned when we've accepted that. The moment a person truly believes, God will declare you to be righteous, never to change his mind. The scripture declares, is what Paul says, the end of the conflict. As a person being reconciled to God, he says. Justification is that one time, listen to me, it's that one time legal declaration with continuing results. It's that one-time declaration with continuing results. In other words, the sinner's war with God has ended forever. That is peace. I don't lay my head on my pillow at night worrying about heaven or whether I'm going to go there. I remember when I was searching for that peace as a young boy, I didn't know much about that, but boy, I'm thankful that when I lay my head on my pillow, I can be at peace. When I've done funerals of family or church family, it breaks my heart. But you know what? I'm thankful that those I know have made a profession of faith in Christ. They have believed upon the Lord. That's one of the easiest funerals for me to preach. The hardest funeral for me to preach is someone I don't know for sure whether they've accepted Christ. But the one who I know has truly accepted Christ, as hard as it is to lose a loved one or a friend or a church family member, as hard as that is, knowing that they have made true peace with God, that makes my job easy as a pastor. But the hardest job for a pastor, and I'll be honest, every pastor will tell you this, is to preach a funeral for someone that you don't know whether they truly are in heaven or not because they had not made peace with God. I've had a few of those over the years. And I don't look forward to those kind of funerals because I never try to preach anybody into heaven. Never. I don't get up and try to confuse the family and say, well, this person's in heaven if I don't really know for sure, if they haven't made a profession of faith. And that's hard because all family members want to hear, well, my loved one's in heaven. If they don't have that true peace that Paul is talking about in Romans 5:1, they're not. We need to have that peace. We can have that peace. God has completely judged sin upon Christ, our substitute. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for who? For us. God made his own son to be sin for us when he died on the cross. By the way, it goes on to say, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth. That word commend means God proved. He showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for us. He died for us. So we can have peace with God because God was satisfied with Christ, with what Christ did on the cross in judging our sin. There are people trying to get to heaven, but our sin debt has been paid for. You see, his shed blood paid for the ransom for all of our sins. There's nothing left to be paid. It's taken care of, and yet for us to try to do it a different way would be really to shame God. See, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is at total peace with what He's done on our behalf. He's at total peace with that. He gave His Son. So we can have peace with God because Jesus Christ, He averted the wrath of God for us. For God's wrath to be appeased in the Old Testament, if you'll recall, the blood of the sacrificed lamb was applied to the mercy seat. You remember that? Well, when Christ shed His blood on Calvary, He placed it on the mercy seat before God the Father, and He, the Father, accepted the offering of the sacrificial lamb, the Son of God, as payment for my sin and your sin. Praise God for that. There's really no analogy I could give for us to appreciate that, but, you know, as I've said, time after time, it's kind of like going into the bank and the banker says, hey, you don't owe anything left on your house. Somebody paid it in full. That doesn't do justice to what I've just explained, but you know what? Well, I would appreciate if somebody wants to pay my house in full, wouldn't you? I'd be okay with that. No more debt. Now I owe it. Oh, listen, more so, Jesus went to the cross. Whether you wanted to do it or not, He paid your sin debt in mine in full. And for that person who is looking for peace, who is an unbeliever, they don't realize that, listen, their debt has already been paid in full. Now, do they want to accept? Has it been done for them? By simply believing with a true heart of belief. You see, God's wrath was averted and no longer is placed on the sinner but on Christ. The blood offering has removed that enmity, that hostility between God and man. And we have to, if you've accepted Christ, then we've been reconciled through Christ and His Son. Closing with this thought, the last point. What we need to see is that peace does not come without a cost. Would you agree with that? True peace. I mean, people have went to battles and they fought wars so that we can have peace and for us to have the liberties that we enjoy in our country. And for someone to kneel down when the Pledge of Allegiance is given or someone to mock those who are burned a flag, that burns me up, doesn't it, you? Because what that flag represents is someone has fought for us so that we can have peace, our liberties in our country. And the same applies when someone trashes the Word of God or someone denies the Word of God. It's like some this week have come out and said, some famous people who've made money off of God and Christianity. I mean, literally, they've made money. And who's bought into that? Well, we have. And yet, all of a sudden, I guess they've made enough money or whatever, and they decided, hey, I'm going to just deny God and Christianity. And they've done it. Boy, when I first heard that, boy, that burned me up. Because the news media loves to gravitate to that attention and put it out there on the news the first thing and try to, again, to reinforce the fact this is why you shouldn't be a Christian. But then God got a hold of me later in the day. Don't get upset over that. That's all a part of my plan. I'm revealing the false teachers and preachers out there. As hard as that is to accept, my liberty is not in them, but my liberty is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace in God. So we need to see that peace does not come without a cost. What do you mean? Well, Christ gave His life that we might have peace. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God demands the death penalty for sin. Therefore, to make peace with God requires someone to give their life. And Jesus did. Peace always costs someone their life, doesn't it? Our soldiers fought for this country. We have Memorial Day to remind us of our freedom and those who have given their life. Jesus gave His life. And it's not just one time a year that we recognize that, but every time we gather, every day that we wake up is a new day in the Lord, and we ought to say, Thank God for the peace that I have through Jesus, because if it were not for you, Jesus, giving your life for me, I'd be destined for hell. We all would. Romans 5:10 again says, For if when or while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. God desires that we give our lives to Him. Don't you agree with that? When we receive Christ as Savior, He'll then become the one who leads and controls our life. We begin to live for Him when we give our life to Him. We'll want to do what He wants us to do when we give our life to Him. And by the way, this is what it means to truly know peace. To know peace is to know God. Do you know God? Do you truly know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Then if you know Him, then you're not searching for that kind of peace. Maybe right now you're not serving God as you faithfully should, and there seems to be that guilt, or maybe that even Satan likes to cause us to question. You know what? I'm thankful that we can make things right with God, because we still battle that sin nature. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe that's where you're at today. I invite you on this invitation in just a moment to come. And if it's just to kneel at the altar, maybe it's to pray for someone that you know is seeking peace from God, you ought to pray for them. Give them to the Lord. Don't neglect that opportunity to pray for them. But to help them, pray that God will help them to find that peace.